Hi, if you've just joined us, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. We're speaking to Senator Ras Adibaratsi tonight. Ras, what has been the impact of COVID-19 on persons with disabilities? I mean, you know, while having a disability probably doesn't put someone at a higher risk from COVID, but many people with disabilities do have specific underlying conditions. And during the MCO and during this pandemic, it could make it very difficult for them to address those conditions?
Difficult is not the best way to describe us. It is really hard. It is so hard, you cannot imagine. So the word difficult doesn't really... because I give an example. My friends who are blind, it's difficult for them to go out and gauge the 1 meter distance. So they cannot do social distancing. So it's very, very difficult. In the end, when we send out food and assistance to them, we tell them, please stay in. And then they say, yeah, but if we stay in, then we don't have any food, because most of them are masseurs, and you know. So it's difficult for them to find jobs, and they want to go out, they're afraid, and their neighbors are also afraid. On top of that, we have persons who've got spinal cord injury, SCI,
right.
And it's difficult for us, because we can get infected very easily as well. So again, we don't go out, and some of us have to get support, as in assistance. Pesakit terlantar, the ones that are bedridden, we need to get assistance from our family, from our friends, and they can't come across to us because they can't travel out. They need a police, a permit and stuff like that.
Ross, can I ask you, was during the MCO period, and I think it was a learning experience for everybody, including government, creating rules, perhaps a one-size-fit-all type of approach to these rules about social distancing, where you could go and so, were they responsive to activists like you who were saying, well, actually, this rule doesn't work for these communities, and in fact puts them at not only a disadvantage, perhaps even in a very dangerous position? We see that in other countries where people with disabilities died as a consequence of lockdown rules. Did you find that the authorities were responsive to you and to your appeals for some sort of dispensation?
Like you mentioned just now, this is the first time for everybody, and everybody is just trying to adjust with things. It's very, very hard. Well, they didn't ask for my opinion, but they asked with some of my associates in the medical fraternity. But as a parent who has a child who is autistic, I didn't see my son for like 3 months. He was staying at his god family's house, which is just across my house. I could just see him at the door and just wave at him, and here I am holding on to the table and controlling myself from crying because I miss him. So that's the other thing with parents who have kids with special needs, like autistic kids, right? They go crazy. They lose it. Their parents cannot hack it. So we were actually truthfully were forgotten.
Okay.
Everybody was busy trying to get things done, but they were doing things for able body.
Right.
They didn't have an inclination. They don't know how to handle persons with disabilities in situations like this.
Well, you know, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, I love this line. It says, nothing about us without us. So on that note of consultation, I'm wondering, what would an inclusive public health response to COVID-19 look like for persons with disabilities?
First and foremost, Melissa, when they make decisions, they need to have us on board. When people say, oh, this is so-and-so-and-so, this is so-and-so-and-so-and-so, did you ask me? You didn't ask me. You make decisions for me. So we try our best to work with, the parties involved that makes decision. But really, we need to have more than this. I mean, I am a voice for my people in the upper house. I wish that we could have a minister who could, would be there, to make decisions with the executive powers. But We don't have that. So until we have a minister who is a disabled, until then only, I guess, you know, people would take us seriously and call us and say, okay, you know, how is it? Is this okay? You know, they ask us once here and there, but then after that, they make their own decision. You don't make decisions for us. We speak for ourselves. You know, you want to empower us, you got to be there. We got to be there. You know, nothing about us without us. And no one should be left behind, full stop.
Ras, you mentioned earlier the question of people with vision impairment and who many of whom are in, say, the massage business. Of course, those businesses will close, like so many others. The livelihood issues. How has that been addressed? The Prihatin packages that came out address the livelihood question for many of the people with disabilities.
Well, you know, recently under Penjana, the disabled who are registered and who are at the moment receiving like Elan Pekerja Cacat, BTB, which is for the disabled who is not able to work, and also for BTP, which is for the disabled who are bedridden, they can get this 300, okay? But the rest of us don't. So that's something which has, you know, people have been coming up to me. My friends have been coming up to me and say, hey, you know what? We went through COVID as well. You know,
Russ, yeah. 300 doesn't sound like very much. I mean, is that 300 a part of something larger? Or is it just, I mean, how do people actually survive on assistance like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, for example, Elan Pekerja Cacat, you can only get 400 every month if your salary is 1,201, you don't get it anymore. So, you know, I am working my very best, you know, with the team at the Welfare Ministry and also under the Women's Ministry to see how best we can to assist them. Because 1,002, yeah, in 2020, is really nothing. Then if you they only get 400 ringgit. But this 300 under this Penjana, even though to some people it's little, but to a lot of us, that is a lot. Right. So, yeah, I'm really, really hoping that, you know, something can be done so that we can also assist the rest of us, because we must never discriminate.
Sure. Russ, just now you said something about, you know, those who are visually impaired, you know, may not be able to tell the social distancing 1 meter. It got me thinking about some really practical things. I mean, things that we are doing to protect ourselves from COVID, masks, for instance, they hinder lip reading. And those who are visually impaired require braille, that requires touching of surfaces. How are the persons with disabilities going to deal with all these kind of safe distancing measures to protect themselves from COVID?
Okay, there's some mask that has, like, you know, you can see lip read, but you know what, lip read, not everybody lip read, unless with a special branch or the FBI, yes, but not everybody lips read. So you still need to do sign language, right? But I tell people, you know, if they can have shields, use shields. My blind friends, they just use the mask anyway, and they still go around because they have to go out. You know, they call to get people to deliver the food, and then they say you have to wait for 1 week. How? They need to eat. They can't go out. They want to buy vegetables, but no one can help them. And then the deaf, you know, it's difficult for them to communicate and ask help. But one of the other few categories that we forget are the ones who have mental disorders, the bipolars and the schizophrenic. So it's a big problem, because for autism, say, for example, you know, the kids go up and down, they go crazy in the house, they have meltdowns. And then for persons who are schizophrenics and bipolars, it's difficult for them. Some of them couldn't even go out and get medicine. And dah lah stigma, you know, there's stigma, you know, because people don't want to go there and take medicine. We're scared you do something to us, you know, things like that. Right. You know, so it's like, it's crazy, but we all learn. But one thing I can say that I am not happy is, guys, is no one asks us.
Okay. And
thought about it.
We're going to take a quick break and continue this conversation with Ras Adiba in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This.
Thank you.